Today, we'll talk about the 6 steps to planning a Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 220 of WWE Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WWE Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWEPrepSchool.com and the owner of Perfect Story Travel. Thank you for being here for episode 220. Today we are going to talk about a staple of this entire website podcast, which is my 6-step planning process. I have talked about it many times before. It is the structure I used for the trip reports. And episode 55 was about the 6-step planning process, but we have made updates over the years, and I wanted to go into a little bit more detail, talk about some of my favorites in each category, and just have this like one spot where I could give an updated view of the 6-step planning process. Before I do that, just a reminder to follow on social media. You pick the platform, search for WDW Prep School and follow along. And if you have any feedback or questions or anything you want to say to me, please feel free to message me on any of those platforms. So let's get started talking about how to plan a Disney World trip. Now, if you are a first timer, and over the years, more and more people that listen to this are multi-timers, multi-step visitors, so you're not first timers. But if you are, you may wonder why a process is even necessary. And it's because the Disney World is the most popular destination in the United States, and so there's a ton of people, and wherever there's a lot of people, there's going to be the logistics and the competition is great. So you don't want to be stuck without dining reservations that you want. You don't want to be waiting in lines unnecessarily. You don't want to be traveling during a time of year that is busy and you thought it wasn't going to be, but then it was. You need to know how to navigate all the people that are inevitably going to be there. It also is surprisingly large, and if you've never been, then you will not understand that. And this process helps you to avoid unnecessary travel time. That is one of the primary motives of this planning process. So for instance, let's take another city. We went to New York City. My son and I went in March, and every day of the plan was grouped around where we were going to be. So we really wanted to go to the Modern Art Museum. So on the day that we went to the Modern Art Museum, we planned things near the Modern Art Museum so that when we were in that area, we could dine at that restaurant or go to that other attraction, right? We're just kind of grouping things based on that. And so it's sort of that idea. And when you go to New York, you go over to San Francisco, all places that have like Disney World is twice the size of Manhattan. It is the same size as San Francisco. When you go to those cities, you may think of that. You may think, oh, well, when I'm in that part of San Francisco, I will do things together. But people don't know that when they're going to Disney World. They think it's just like a, you know, like your local Six Flags, or, you know, they have no idea of the size of it. And so we really have to emphasize that these steps are necessary so that you are not zigzagging unnecessarily. And that's what this process is all about. So the first step in the 6-step WWE Prep School planning process is to pick your dates. Now, sometimes, you know, we have all different criteria we use to pick our dates. And sometimes you are bound to a work schedule, you are bound to a school schedule. So you end up going when it's busier, that's fine. But the point of this is that you are using all of the criteria, all the information that you have to choose your dates. And even if you have to go when it's busy, you at least need to know it's going to be busy to adjust your expectations beforehand. We have a crowd calendar on the website that we update frequently. It is the number one piece of content on the website. It is our most popular. When we post it on Facebook, it kind of goes viral. Like right now, I think there are 250,000 views on our crowd calendar Facebook post that was just posted recently. It is hugely popular because people really want to avoid the crowds. But even if you do have to go when it is crowded, you just at least need to know that it's going to be crowded. For instance, a lot of people will say, oh, I'm just going to go in October during fall break. That seems like it's going to be really great. No, if you look at the crab calendar, you will know it's going to be busy and you can plan accordingly. Our favorite times to go are in January and February, as long as you're avoiding those 3-day weekends, because there's President's Day and Martin Luther King Day. You want to avoid those because those are busy. You want to avoid Run Disney events. But other than those like special events, January and February can offer really nice weather and low crowds. And we really like that. If you want to go for low crowds, September is still a fantastic time to go because it's like in between busy seasons. It starts to get really busy in October with fall breaks and different things like that. September also gives you the option to do food and wine festival and the Halloween party. So as far it's hot though. So if you want warm weather and low crowds, September is still our favorite time. If you want cooler weather and lower crowds, choose January and February, but avoid those holiday weekends. Again, crowd calendar link is in the show notes so that you can see what we think is going to be the busiest time. So be sure to check that out. Step two in our 6-step planning process is to choose where you are going to stay. Now, the first thing that you need to choose is on-site or off-site. We will always recommend on-site if you can do it. There are reasons people may not choose to stay on-site, but if you can do on-site, we would highly suggest that. Some favorites of on-site resorts are Pop Century. That is the best bang for your buck. They are updated rooms. They have their own buses that just go from the hotel to the parks without having to share, and it is where I stay most often. They do have small rooms. It can be noisy. It is a value resort, so if value resorts are not your thing, don't stay there. But Pop Century is our best bang for the buck. My favorite place to suggest to families with young children is a suite at Art of Animation. They are not the cheapest. The fact that it is a quote unquote value resort is a little bit of a misnomer. The suites are not cheap, and they are certainly not value category budgets, but they provide lots of space, like a little apartment. They have multiple sleeping spaces, 2 bathrooms. They have a fantastic food court, really fun theming throughout the whole resort. We happen to like the car section the best, but there's also Lion King section and Finding Nemo rooms. And they have interior hallways for these suites. So most lower end hotels, the doors will open outside. These open inside to the hallways. So that is my favorite pick for Art of Animation suites. If I were going right now with my own children, if they were young, that is where I would stay with them. In terms of the moderate resorts, they're all very pretty, and I kind of like them all equally now. In the past, I have really disliked Caribbean Beach Resort, but they have fixed a lot of the things I had issues with, primarily the food, which was terrible before, and now it is not. I also did not like that there was sort of 2 main buildings there. I found the logistics of that difficult, but it is not like that anymore. I still am not a fan of the internal stops at the moderate resorts. There are a lot of bus stops at all of them, except for Port Orleans French Quarter, which is a small moderate resort, and it only has the 1 bus stop. But all of the moderates are pretty. So if you're looking for, something better than a value, it's not loud colors, it's not bright, gorgeous landscaping. All the moderates, I think, are fairly good. You just have to be aware of that bus stop situation, that it can take a while to get to and from places. But if you have a car, they're great because you can pull up next to where you're staying generally and easily get in and out by car. But if the buses can be a little tedious. My favorite deluxes are the Contemporary and the Beach Club. Both of those have walking access to parks, at least one park, and offer to me the best magic. The Contemporary has the monorail going right through it. You can see the fireworks from there. You can walk to Magic Kingdom. All of the restaurants in the Contemporary are favorites of mine. I think that one's a fantastic one. The rooms are really big. The Beach Club is right next to Epcot, and you can also get to Hollywood Studios by foot or boat. And with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening, that is a nice perk. So anyway, lots of good options, but those are favorite on-site options. For off-site, if you're staying off-site for whatever reason, maybe you have hotel points to use, maybe you want a bigger room or cheaper price or whatever, I would suggest that you look at off-site options that have on-site benefits. This is especially crucial with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening because They have done extra magic hours, extra magic hours at the parks. That right now that extends through early November, and so you need on-site benefits even if you're staying off-site. My favorite options of these off-site resorts that have on-site benefits are the Swan and Dolphin, which is actually physically on-site. It's right next to the Boardwalk and Beach Club and those, but it's not a Disney World hotel, but it does have the on-site benefits of early morning extra magic hours. I'm sorry, I'm confusing all the different Disney terms. Extra magic hours, and you can book your fast passes 60 days in advance. If you want high-end luxury, Four Seasons is also a great off-site option with these on-site benefits. And any of the hotels in the Disney Springs area, there's a lot of chains, a lot of hotels that would you might want to use points for, and those also share that benefit. So if you are going to stay off-site, at least pick an off-site hotel that gives you some perks so that you aren't, unable to get fast passes or take advantage of these extra magic hours. The third step in the planning process is to make your daily plan. And the whole point of this is to choose where you're going to be each day. And this is kind of like what I was talking about earlier, that if you're traveling to any place, you kind of want to group things together based on where you're going to be. And so this daily plan forces you to figure out where you're going to be each day. Usually that'll probably be a park, so you'll say on Monday I'm going to go to Epcot, Tuesday I'm going to go to Magic Kingdom, etc. It could also be a rest day, it could be water parks, it could be that you're going to drive to a beach in Florida, whatever. You just kind of need to do a loose plan so that you know where you're going to be. And then based on that, you can decide other things that are coming up in steps 4, 5, and 6 in the planning process. For the daily plan, we have monthly calendars to help you determine which parks are best for each day. We have the calendars on the website that are linked to in the show notes. We had these redesigned earlier this year, maybe end of last year, but within the last like 6 or 8 months. And they have not only best parks for each day, but they have all the park hours, and there are dates for like when you can make fast pass and dining reservations on this calendar. The calendars have a ton of information. So if you have never seen these calendars, please go check them out, and they should come in super handy for your trip. So once you have figured this out for every day of your trip, what your daily plan is going to be, you can move on to step 4, which is to choose dining based on that. And if you have been a longtime listener, you know that a lot of the things I repeat are based on my own mistakes. So my very first trip, we stayed at the Boardwalk Inn, and then we didn't take advantage of the dining on the boardwalk. We were running all over the place because I had read that Ohana was really great, and I had read that this was really great. And so we're like crisscrossing Disney World, driving my kids crazy because they're on the buses so much, and it was a mess. So it was a travesty that we were at the Boardwalk Inn and not eating on the boardwalk, or not eating in Epcot, which is in walking distance. It is very tempting, especially in the age of social media and Instagram, where you see something really great and you think, well, I need to do that. And so I would just say, if you want to do that, at least just make sure logistically it makes sense. So let's use Chef Mickey's as an example. So when my kids were little, we would always do Chef Mickey's once per trip. It is very close to the Magic Kingdom, so it makes sense to pair it, either put it on a non-park day where that is like your only thing you're going to do, or pair it with a Magic Kingdom day because it is right next to the Magic Kingdom. It would be very difficult to be skipping all over Disney World to do things. You just end up on buses or driving for 30 minutes. It's just a long way. So choose dining based on where you're going to be. Don't be crisscrossing unnecessarily. Speaking of not crisscrossing and wasting time, let's talk about step 5, which is to plan your touring. So the whole point of touring plans is to plan your park time to avoid lines and to minimize your waits. And the way to do that is to rely on people like us who know what the wait times are and have touring plans that we can suggest to you. So our touring plans are a little bit different than you might find elsewhere, and they have been developed to allow you structure without stress, which I think would be a really good tagline for the website. We provide structure without the stress. So the touring plans are grouped by the hour for the first 3 hours of the day. We always recommend being there at park opening because other people are not. So that's when you can take advantage of low wait times. So you want to do the first 3 hours group by hour. So for instance, we might say the first hour at Magic Kingdom, you should try to do Peter Pan's Flight and Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Second hour, do this and this. And that way it keeps it sort of structured, but not stressed out where everything is to the minute, because I find that especially difficult with little kids, because you can't micromanage anybody, let alone little children, in that way. And the reason we only do it for the first 3 hours is that in the first 3 hours, you should be able to knock out all of the main attractions that would have waits. And then at lunch, you can figure out how you want to spend the rest of the day. And your options for the rest of the day should be, you could leave the park to go take a nap or to swim. If you stay in the park, you can do things that don't have waits. So if you're at Magic Kingdom, your afternoon could be spent going to PhilharMagic or doing something like that that doesn't have a wait. And so we don't really provide a structure after the first 3 hours because you should be done with the things that are super busy at that point and then can figure it out. And it really allows flexibility with your family or your friends to decide what to do after lunch. We are having more and more difficulties creating touring plans because Disney keeps creating new attractions and nighttime shows and changing all the Fast Pass tiering. So it has made it more and more tricky the last several years to figure out how to do this. We have had to make choices like, well, let's just take that off of the touring plan. They're not going to have time to do that. Or we are telling people on their touring plans at Epcot, for example, if you don't have a lot of Epcot time, you're going to have to choose which headliner attractions you're going to do or wait in lines because Frozen Ever After, Soarin', and Test Track are all in the first tier at Epcot. And so that makes it tricky to figure out. But we have done our best to keep up with that and are, have been adjusting as necessary. And, even most recently, Hollywood Studios is changing all their Fast Pass tiers. So we are adjusting on the fly. And so you need to have those plans. That is the best way to avoid lines. I do not wait. In the many years I've been going, I have never waited more than 30 minutes, I don't think. And there's no reason that you should have to unless something, happens. So anyway, you want to plan your touring. I will, of course, link to those in the show notes. And finally, the sixth step of the planning process is to add extra magic to your trip. And this is where you can really start to customize it and add special touches for your travel group. It doesn't have to cost extra, but I do put the extra tickets in this category as an option. So, some things that don't cost a lot of money would be you could do scavenger hunts at the hotels. Many of them at the desk, you can ask them for scavenger hunts and you can do that. You could bring pressed coins and make that sort of a scavenger hunt throughout Disney World of sorts to look for those pressed coin machines. They make a fun souvenir. But the things that do cost extra would be like booking Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for a makeover or attending an extra event like Early Morning Magic, After Hours events, booking a tour. So these are where you can sort of customize and pick things based on the personalities of your group. And I think this is sort of what makes things extra special. The next podcast episode will be my favorite extras, like the things I think provide the best bang for the buck. And so this category will sort of get its own podcast next, where we can go into more detail. So that is the six-step planning process. Please be sure to check out all the links. And as always, feel free to ask questions on social media or by email. Info@wwprepschool.com is the best way to reach us for that. As always, I do want to share a quick tip before we wrap up this episode. This one was emailed in from Kathy S. And her tip was to make sure you update or re-enter your credit card on file in your My Disney Experience account, especially if you haven't been to the parks in a while, to know that your card is still active in your account. My brother and I were ready at 6 a.m. to make our dining reservations. We followed the advice for getting hard-to-get dining reservations on wdwpressschool.com. I will link to that in the show notes. And we thought we had everything ready. I was able to work through my list easily with no problems. The tab idea on the website worked wonderfully. My brother was not having the same luck as he was asked to re-enter his credit card info on his first reservation. While trying to do that, the page froze and wouldn't reload. He tried again, it froze again. He had to log in using a different browser, then re-enter his credit card in his account. From there, he was able to start over with trying to make reservations. By this point, I had made four of the dining reservations on my list and two of them from his. His credit card was still in his account from his last trip 2.5 years ago, but Disney clearly felt it needed verified. My last trip was 4 months ago, so my card must have still been active in the system. This one little hiccup could mean the difference in getting a high priority dining reservation. Planning ahead and working together allowed us to get every reservation that we wanted. So thank you for that, Kathy. And that is certainly good information to know. You know, a lot of us will get my bank has sent me new credit cards when, you know, one was a part of fraud, and so they will cancel it and give a new one. And I'm not sure I would have thought to do that when I was making dining reservations. So I appreciate that. As always, please check the show notes for information on this episode, or you can head to www.prepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, and scroll down to episode 220. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.